We're just going to have an informal session around Simeon's previous talk and his feedback on that and what we've given him.
Well, brothers and sisters, young people and children, can you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, please? As Tom said, we've got 15 minutes, so we're going to keep up a good pace. Just to review, really, where we are. But I thought it would be appropriate to take some words of advice from the word itself, from the Apostle Paul. So 1 Timothy in chapter 4, and perhaps these words are particularly appropriate to our young people who are in the audience today and over this weekend. And let's really try and think about them. You know, often we can read the scriptures, and this is what we've been thinking about in the previous session, isn't it? We read through the scriptures, but I include myself in this, don't always stop and really think of the import of them for me. Before God and my relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's do that. Just a couple of verses here. Look at verse 12, please. Okay, so let's just reflect as we read these words carefully. So let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. So there's a challenge to every one of us in this room, isn't there? To be an example, a good example of following God. In word, how do we talk with one another? How do we talk to those outside? How do we talk to the visitors that turn up perhaps in our meeting? How do we talk to those that come, interested friends, to our seminars and our public meetings? Do we talk to them? Or do we sort of edge away and... You know, there's a strange face over there. So, you know, it's up to us, isn't it? The only place that they're going to hear the truth from, probably, is from us, and we might lose our chance. So we were just looking, for those who have come in, at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and just picking up a few pieces of advice from the inspired word here in verse 12. So let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. So when people look at us in the workplace, when our neighbours observe us, when our friends observe us, when our school colleagues observe us, when our university colleagues observe us, what do they see? Do they see something of what we believe and the way that we act? It goes on to say that, doesn't it? Example of believers in word, in conversation. That means sort of really in our behaviour. How do we behave? What are our behaviours before others? Are they the same as our behaviour would be before the Lord Jesus Christ? So there's lots of challenging words in here, aren't there, for us? Do you remember that graph we had up of support and challenge? In love, of course. Everything has to be done in love, doesn't it? Not out of malice and vindictiveness, but in love, even if correction is needed. In spirit, in faith, and in purity. And there's a lot of impure stuff out there in the world, I don't need to tell you. And we as parents as well, and grandparents, have to... You know, it's a lovely environment, this is, isn't it? That we can get away from all that impurity that we know is in the world. Just to be here with the pure things of God. But we have to carry that forward now, don't we? And help our children grow up in purity. Come over to James, please. And then we'll look at some comments on the slides. James chapter 1. You know these words very well, brothers and sisters and young people. But we do this just to remind ourselves, just to reflect on our responsibility, really, before God. So verse 21, in this challenging and difficult world that we all live now, and it's not getting better, is it? Verse 21, wherefore lay apart, get rid of, lay aside. Same word in Hebrews 12 and verse 1. But don't go there, but wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. That really means abundance, in case you wonder what that might mean. Superfluity of naughtiness. And here's the positive spin. Receive Think about that word. And we think our minds go over the Acts of the Apostles, doesn't it? How many times, and this is a challenge for us, don't do it now, but how many times is it saying they received the word gladly? Well, here it is. Receive with meekness. That's important. Meekness. The engrafted word, which is able, it's powerful to save our souls. That's how powerful this word is. So with that in mind, what I'll do, what I've done as best as I can, as faithfully as I can, is to copy over a lot of your comments from the book and try to include some of the verbal comments that have been given to me as well. So the first thing I'd like to say is thank you. Thank you. There's been lots of comments, lots of conversations that it's generated. So that's really, really lovely that it's got us thinking a little bit. And because there's been so many comments, I haven't been able to include them all. I've prioritised them. And what I've done is just really selected those that are to do with helping us all to connect initially with the Word of God. So if you don't see your comment up here, it's not because I think they're less in value. Not at all. It's just from the fact that we're thinking about how do we initially connect with the Word of God rather than advice on exposition and such like. So there are other comments in there regarding that. So that's my rationale if you don't see all of your comments on the screen. But this book will be in the reception, so if anyone wants to read through all of the comments in full, in detail, please do. So thank you, everyone, for your input and contributions. I think it's going to be fairly self-explanatory, and if any of these comments obviously resonate with any of us and different people in different ways, well, I just place them before you. Comments from yourselves. The parallel accounts and quotations. Yes, it is from God, isn't it? There's a reason why they're different. The different placings, the different words, the different orders. One person makes a printout, probably more, of a passage or photocopy a Bible page, and sometimes separates out the verses, and then you can highlight words, draw lines of connections, and make comments between the lines or between the words. So that's one way of perhaps helping get the word into our minds. Pick up a specific area of interest or a topic, exploring Old Testament evidence of the Messiah for one, and you could pick many more, of course. Using an iPad for parallel versions can be very helpful, and making notes, particularly when you're travelling. Follow the daily reading planner. So it's a wonderful resource, actually, isn't it? The daily reading. Let's not underestimate what it helps us to do for, what, half an hour a day, even if we just read it, let alone talking and thinking and meditating upon the readings afterwards. Note geographical settings and their significance. I've certainly learnt a whole series of points relating to geographical settings since a brother came and sat with me during this weekend. So that's really helpful to me to understand the significance of what happened and how it was referred to later in the scriptures. Choosing a different version or interlinear Bible for comparison can be helpful, again, with care. Try listening to the Bible through podcasts, MP3 recordings. I'm sure a lot of people in this room do, and I said in the previous session that it is a great thing. It's a good thing to do, to use your time perhaps in the car when you're driving. It's just the bit about remembering it, isn't it, that I struggle with. So I have to listen to it again when I get home. And when all is said and done, there aren't any really shortcuts. Okay? So let's settle down and let's apply ourselves to wisdom, as the psalmist says, to the Word of God. And it will reap rewards, spiritual rewards. We can read with a particular goal in mind, a particular focus. So the types of the Messiah, historical facts, practical messages, and other things. So we could challenge ourselves. Sometimes we do that with our young people and children. Say, right, while we're reading this chapter, I'd like you to spot any occurrences of, and it gives a bit of a focus of an initial interest that can be helpful. And all of these, we wouldn't want to always do the same one, but we can mix it around, can't we? And sometimes, perhaps, and this is the great thing I've found, and perhaps you have too, with particularly children And indeed, if those who have run seminars, the questions that we get are really good, aren't they? When someone approaches the Word of God sometimes for the first time, they'll ask that really challenging question that either we've tried to put to one side or we haven't even thought of, perhaps. It's really good for us to read it afresh and challenge ourselves in doing so. Familiarity, sometimes we can, again, we've considered this before, we can start presuming or assuming things. Can't we? Yeah, well, that means that, you know, I've read that 100 times. Well, actually, look at it in a different light. Psalm 110, verse 1, do you remember? So sometimes with a new light can be helpful. Find a partner or other brother or sister to share the readings with by email or text. Choose a reading, write it out, and this is what one person does. Work out a prayer from it. During the rest of the week, share those thoughts, questions and exhortations by email or texting. So it keeps us alive to that reading that we've shared. Write out a verse on a post-it note and think, meditate on it 3 times a day, raising questions, exhortations, and try to memorize it as well. Use WhatsApp to discuss readings with others. This is a quotation from Miles Coverdale. I'll let you read it. You can read it as well as I can. I'll just break for a few seconds. And of course, this gets back to the questions, doesn't it? And a number of you have come to me during the weekend saying, absolutely, about, you know, the questions. It really is so helpful to ask questions when studying, when doing the readings. It's a really good habit that hopefully we can help each other and our young people to grow into. The positive sort of questions, that is, of course. It's so important, isn't it, not to read the Word of God trying to teach it, but to be taught from it. The frame of mind in which we approach the Word of God is so important. And that's why prayer beforehand is so important, isn't it? It doesn't have to be a long, complicated prayer, a very simple prayer. To thank God for this priceless gift that we have in His Word. And that we might be enlightened in our reading and meditation and understanding of it. It does make a difference. I know that for myself. Sometimes we get so busy and another talk to give or whatever that we can rush in and it can be all the producing a talk without the real thought sometimes, the depth of thought that it deserves. Meditate on a Bible subject when outside, going for a walk. Lovely opportunity. Cycling out in the countryside and such like. Make use of other resources. So there's lots of Christadelphian books. Lots of good books out there that are worth a read. Challenge yourself, and sometimes, again, as Sister was saying, sometimes it can be so daunting, particularly when the print is very small and the page is very full. Well, chunk it. Chunk it. Say, well, okay, a page a day or something like that. It can make it manageable if a book is difficult for you to read. Chunk it. Okay, it doesn't matter if you don't finish the book, you know, in a month or whatever, but at least it's an input, isn't it? A spiritual input. The Livonia Tapes, and there are others, isn't there? I can't think of the names. The Christadelphian Vault is another one. Tapes for You, I think. But there's lots of good recordings of some really good studies out there. Use it. And of course, the knowledge and experience of brethren and sisters in our own ecclesias and from past brethren and sisters that we can read about. And it was expressed in the way of standing on their shoulders. And in a sense, we can do that, can't we? The benefit of those that have gone before, our pioneering brothers and sisters that have gone before and borne the heat of the day, by and large. Let's use their labours, their understanding, their wisdom. And young people, I heartily recommend, you know, those older brothers and sisters in your ecclesia, ask them questions about the Bible. They'd love to help you. All right? Using a word processor, create a table to make parallel comparisons between different records of the same event. So, resurrection, as we're thinking about. Miracles, parables, road to Damascus, and other things that we could parallel up together. It's exciting to see those extra pieces of information, slotting them in, understanding and asking those questions. So why is this here and not here? It really gets us thinking. So, but using a processor, whether it be a word table or Excel, whatever, can be really helpful to move the scriptures around, can't it, appropriately. In the olden days, I know people who literally used to cut up pages of the Bible and, you know, literally cut and paste it. But it's a good way of paralleling it and understanding it better. Work through the verses listed in the commandments of Christ, looking up and writing out each one. What a wonderful project. It's delightful to do and helps in meditation. So thank you for those comments. And as I say, if you want to read the full version, you've just seen the abridged. So the full version is in the book. I'll put it back on reception. So I need to close now. But moving forward, as we leave this place later today, brothers and sisters and young people and our children, I don't need to tell you, it's a difficult world. It's a dark world through which we tread. There are temptations on the left and on the right. There are challenges before us as the world declines in every sense. And we don't want to start talking about it all, but the lesson for us, I think, is to let the Word of God be our light. There's nowhere else we can turn. It's nowhere else that teaches us of God's ways. So let the Word be a lamp to our feet, brothers and sisters and young people and children, and a light to our path. Let it be a light in our households, in our individual households when we go back home, when we read and discuss and walk and talk together about these things. Let it be a light in our households. Let it be a lamp to show us the way when those difficult situations and decisions need to be made. What is the Word of God? What precedent can we follow here? Who has been this way before? Let's help each other in these things. And finally, a word from our brother Paul. And now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build us up. It is able to do that if we let it, in prayer, in faith, in love, to give us an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. For this is what we have had as a community in common with so many brothers and sisters who have gone before us, isn't it? Some who now sleep, but nevertheless had the same hope as us, and now they rest. So let us look forward to that joyful inheritance that we can be together with our beloved ones throughout all ages and worship God and the Lord Jesus Christ in that kingdom to come.